707 on the John Phillips Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live in exile from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to open up the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wags at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, Mayor Eric Garcetti is often asked how he's able to do things like this. And here's how he does it.
It's only a matter of time before he has a Jeffrey Toobin.
Well, it might have been that deposition that Yasher Ali's trying to sue to get out to the public.
Ooh, I can't wait to get my hands on that. Oddly enough, that's the same thing Jeffrey Toobin said. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. She is a trauma surgeon, an expert on mass casualties, former chief medical officer for Harrah's, who you can follow on Twitter at Dr. Kelly Victory. Dr. Kelly Victory, welcome.
Hey, John. I have to say, it wasn't surprising when Democrats gave Gavin Newsom a pass for the whole French laundry thing. But the fact that Jeffrey Toobin is back on CNN really is just testament to the fact that liberals will, give you a pass for pretty much anything. If you and I got caught telling an off-color joke at a cocktail party, our careers would be decimated forever. But Jeffrey Toobin can go on and do it on a Zoom call and end up still sitting pretty in the end. It's amazing.
Oh, no kidding. Well, you see these stories sometimes about students who posted something on social media who get kicked out of their colleges. Yet you have Hunter Biden dropping the N-bomb right and left. You have Jeffrey Toobin doing something as inappropriate as what he did on a Zoom call at work, and nobody cares.
Right. Right. I mean, the fact that he was double dipping, so to speak, because he clearly had another window open during that event, doesn't seem to bother anybody. You know, it is amazing to me. It just really is amazing what you will get a pass on if you're liberal.
Speaking of people who get an endless supply of passes, Flip-Flop Fauci sat down for an interview on Meet the Press, and I want you to help me deconstruct this interview because there are a lot of nuggets of gold in here, or windows of insight into the mind of one Flip-Flop Fauci. Let's start with Flip-Flop on the lab leak theory.
COVID 19 by a U.S. government national laboratory, and that they concluded the hypothesis claiming the virus leaked from a Chinese lab in Wuhan was plausible and at the time deserved further investigation, according to multiple people familiar with this classified document. What kind of light can you shed on this report, and what do you remember about it at the time?
Yeah, Chuck, there's nothing new about that. All of us have always realized, and I feel this way, I haven't changed. Most of the scientists that I know feel that way, that the most likely origin is a natural origin from an animal reservoir to human. However, we have not ruled out the possibility that there could have been a leak from the lab of them working on the virus. It could have been that someone was infected early on, they brought him into the lab and it came out of the lab, but it was already out in the community. So I think the confusion is because most of the scientists felt that the most likely, and the reason is most likely historically, we've seen this over and over again. We've seen it with SARS-CoV-1, with MERS, with Ebola, with influenza, with pandemic flu, with bird flu, with HIV/AIDS. That's what you see all the time that happens when you have the animal-human interface. But all of us have been open-minded enough to know that until you nail down exactly what it is, you always must leave open the possibility with an open mind that there could be a leak.
Right.
So what that report that you just put up is saying is not anything new or anything that anyone has been articulating all along. When a scientist says they feel that the most likely etiology, the most likely origin is in this case natural, that doesn't mean there's a closed mind to it being a leak, even though many people feel, myself included, that still the most likely origin is a natural one.
Dr. Kelly, he is still committed to the theory that this came from the wet market.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, this is wrong on so many levels, and it's dishonest, John, on so many levels. Let's start with the fact that, number one, he did not acknowledge, nor did anybody else on the front lines with him acknowledge that this could have come from a lab. And in fact, it was quite the opposite. Anybody who even dared suggest that that was a possibility was absolutely decimated, canceled, censored, up one side and down the other. So he's being just full out dishonest there. Secondly, he keeps saying most scientists believe that it is most likely came from the wet market, that it most likely came from an intermediate animal. Well, you can say that statistically speaking, that would be true in the same way that most forest fires start naturally. And you believe that up until the point that you find the empty gas cans in the packet of matches sitting at the edge of the forest. After that, you say, hey, I don't think this one happened naturally because we have very clear-cut evidence that it didn't. And to be very clear, Fauci got emails, and we've seen them now, from people like Christian Anderson, very well-known and highly respected scientist from Scripps, who said back in January of 2020 via email, boy, we're looking at this thing microscopically, and it is pretty darn clear that this did not occur naturally. So every single thing Fauci just said in that little snippet was absolutely up one side and down the other. Not only sort of he's not making errors of omission, he's out and out lying at this point, because he knows darn well that they tried to shut up anybody who even talked about the lab leak theory. And furthermore, he knows well that he and others had been apprised by scientists that there's no possible way this thing had occurred naturally.
Here's Flip-Flop on whether or not he considers himself to be a flip-flopper.
I haven't changed my mind. It was very interesting when I was asked, Chuck, I believe by PolitiFact, they asked me the question, are you absolutely certain that this was not a lab leak? And I said, well, of course I'm not absolutely certain. No one is. That made big news that I sort of changed my mind. I didn't change anything. I still feel the same way. You want to keep an open mind. It's a possibility. I believe it's a highly unlikely possibility. And I believe that the most important one that you look at what scientists feel is very likely that it was a natural origin. But again, always keeping an open mind and less investigated.
Right.
And that's why I have come out saying I'm very much in favor of further investigation.
The flip-flop label really seems to get under his skin.
You're flip-flopping.
Well, you know, no one wants to be called out for being an absolute, either dishonest or, you know, going whichever way the wind blows. But once again, it is not honest for him to say, there's a difference between flip-flopping in my mind, just being wishy-washy and, sort of licking your finger and putting it up in the air and saying, well, I'll say whatever seems to be popular today, and out and out lying. And I have come to the conclusion over these past many months that Fauci is being downright dishonest. He knows that, quote, most scientists do not believe that this was naturally occurring, including the scientists working for him. And we finally now, because the mainstream media has allowed us to see the emails that were discovered under the FOIA discovery, that he knew this from scientists working for him, that they didn't believe that it occurred naturally. Yet despite all of that, he went on for months and months and months reiterating this wet market story, and as I said before, absolutely trying to shut up in cahoots with people like Mark Zuckerberg. They made a coordinated effort. They made a decision. There was a scheme afoot to shut up, censor, and silence those of us who suggested otherwise. So this is just outright dishonesty.
Here is Flip-Flop Fauci on criticism of him and his performance. Cut 16.
I want to get to the political attacks. You have become, you've been sort of become a caricature on the right. There's some really wild, fantastical conspiracies. I got to play one because it's a sitting United States senator, Marsha Blackburn. I think we have a sound of this. Let's play that one.
Here are some facts that I want you to know. First of all, yes, Dr. Fauci was emailing with Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, trying to create that narrative, cherry-picking information so that you would only know what they wanted to know, you to know, and there would be a narrative that would fit with this cherry-picked information.
I don't even know where to begin, but it's a sitting United States senator. It's the most, what I would call the most extreme version of what I've heard. You've got Kevin McCarthy doing his own version of this, Marco Rubio. You're aware of the critiques. You've been debunking this. How do you debunk something like that? She's got it in her own head. Again, a United States senator that represents the state of Tennessee. What do you say to that?
You know, Chuck, I don't have a clue of what she just said. I don't have a clue of what she's talking
Neither
about.
Neither did we.
I mean, welcome to the club. I have no idea what she's talking about. And I'm sorry, I don't want to be pejorative against a United States senator, but I have no idea what she's talking about. And, you know, Chuck, if you go through each and every one of the points, which are so ridiculous as just painfully ridiculous. But nonetheless, if you go through each and every one of them, you can explain and debunk it immediately. I mean, every single one.
Dr. Kelly?
Again, you know, if he has no idea what Marsha Blackburn is talking about, then maybe he needs to get put under oath and sit in front of Congress so that they can show him his own emails back and forth with Mark Zuckerberg on this issue, where they were talking about supporting and making sure that they limited and, quote, controlled the narrative around the origin of the virus. Maybe he can explain what he meant by that exchange with Mark Zuckerberg. Truly. I mean, this is, you know, the idea that he has no idea, really? He knows exactly what happened. And he's been wrong so many. It's one of two things. Either he's out and out lying, or the man is a card-carrying moron. You choose, because it's one or the other. You cannot be wrong about masks, social distancing, spread from tabletops and other surfaces, asymptomatic spread outdoors, the risk to children, the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and on and on and on. You cannot be wrong about every single one of those things. It's either you are lying or you're an idiot. Those are his choices.
Here's more of Flip-Flop Fauci on criticism of him.
He should be fired because he, in the beginning, changed his mind about masks. Well, okay, so let's go back early on with the masks and let's take a look at that. At the time that we were saying we shouldn't be wearing a mask, there were three factors that were going on. A, there was thought to be a shortage of masks. B, there was no evidence that masks worked outside of the context of a hospital. I wear a mask when I'm seeing patients with respiratory disease that could be transmissible like tuberculosis, a well-fitted N95. Thirdly, we were not aware of the extent of asymptomatic spread. So we said, you don't really need to wear a mask. It wasn't only me. I'm picked out as a villain. It was the Surgeon General of the United States and the entire right. CDC was saying the same thing. So as we went from January, February, March, April, it became clear that those three things, A, there was no shortage and you could wear a cloth mask. B, the data showed that, in fact, outside of the hospital setting, masks do work. And third, to our painful awareness, it became clear that 50% or more of the transmissions were with people who had no symptoms. So that's when we said, we've got to get people to wear masks. That's what's called, Chuck, the scientific process. You make a recommendation, right, an opinion, and a guideline based on what you know at a given time. As a scientist, as a health official, when those data change, when you get more information, it's essential that you change your position because you've got to be guided by the science and the current data, That issue with masks is people want to fire me or put me in jail for what I've done, namely follow the science. I could go the next half an hour going through each and every point that they make. It's preposterous, Chuck. Totally preposterous.
Dr. Kelly?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, John, we would have been better off if Bill Nye had been running this pandemic. He's more scientific than Anthony Fauci, Bill Nye, the science guy. Truly, what a joke. Because here he is, even in that answer, once again, flat out lying, because his own emails, we now know that he finally acknowledged what we, the rest of us, anybody who's has a lick of common sense, has been saying from the beginning, which is number one, asymptomatic spread did not occur. And we have a multitude now of studies to prove it. But Anthony Fauci said as much in his own email chains that have now been divulged. He furthermore said that cloth masks don't work, what the rest of us have known for decades and decades about respiratory viruses. So this is all circular. This is circular arguments where he says, well, I first said this, but that's back when we thought that a cloth mask wouldn't work. Well, we know that a cloth mask didn't work, Anthony. You said it yourself. And he's lying about the asymptomatic spread. And that is one of the asymptomatic spread fallacy. Why? Is one of the very worst of all of them, John, because it was the concept of asymptomatic spread that people with absolutely no symptoms could be out there spreading this deadly disease that was the basis for them to shut down schools, churches, all of these things. It was the concept of asymptomatic spread, which I said from the very beginning has never occurred with a respiratory virus ever in the history of medicine, so why it would with this one is beyond me. But now we know, and we have on paper, that Anthony Fauci knew it as well. He said as much in his emails to others that he thought were internal, that there has been no evidence of asymptomatic spread. Yet despite that, he propagated that fallacy for months and months and months.
Here he is saying, if you criticize him, you criticize science.
You are now getting attacked. As you know, many state public health officials have quit their jobs over the last year because of the unrelenting attacks that have taken place. And now you're at the focal point. What is your level of concern that we're going to discredit public health officials to the point of, look at Russia. They actually have a good vaccine and none of their citizens will take it because they don't trust their own government.
Right. It's very dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. Science and the truth are being attacked.
Dr. Kelly, could this guy's ego be any bigger?
No, it could not be any bigger, John. And what's amazing to me is that is frankly how dumb, how the people who question him, who interview him, are, that they cannot connect the dots themselves. They cannot say to him, they will not ask the critical questions. Dr. Fauci, so are you saying now that you believe that masks work and are critical? Because if you do, why do your emails say that you don't think that they work? If you believe that asymptomatic spread was occurring and is occurring with this virus, why do your emails acknowledge that it's never been seen with this virus? If you thought it was correct that the virus could be transmitted off of hard surfaces, why did the CDC retract that and say, oh, turns out that isn't the case? And on and on. Yet nobody will ask him this. They take the word science and facts and data And it's as if their eyes glaze over and they lose all ability to actually put two and two together. It's really remarkable to me. Dr. Fauci has done more to undermine the confidence of the public in public health. He has done more to undermine how people listen to and consider any sort of advice or guidance coming from the CDC, the FDA, or government officials. Honestly, God help us if and when we need the public to actually listen up, pay heed, and follow our directions when there's some new crisis on the horizon. Because it has been totally, the confidence in public health has been absolutely undermined, and the person responsible for that is Anthony Fauci.
If you have a question for Dr. Kelly Victory, give us a call at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Right now it's time to take a look at Gate on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Ann Coulter coming up at the top of the hour to talk politics. Right now, we're joined by Dr. Kelly Victory, who you can follow on Twitter at Dr. Kelly Victory, and we're taking your calls at 800-222-KABC. Let's begin with Mary. Mary, you're on KABC. Welcome.
Hello, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about the homeless and the numbers that are so low for them. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but when this all first started, I just thought they were prime suspects for deaths, and is it their environment? I don't know. What's your view on that?
Well, you're exactly right to have come to that conclusion. They would have been prime suspects if anything about the virus was as it was actually presented to us by people like Anthony Fauci. The issue is it wasn't. The vast majority of homeless people did not have access to masks. They certainly didn't socially distance. They aren't swimming with things like Purell and hand sanitizer and soap and water at, you know, ready access. And many of them have some underlying, you know, poor health and don't eat great diets. So you would have thought they would have been very, very much at risk. Yet, lo and behold, we didn't see significant outbreaks of people becoming very ill or certainly not being hospitalized and dying, because you would have heard about it if that were the case. In all likelihood, what happened is people got COVID. They had very mild courses of it, which we know the vast majority of people will have. It is a mild illness in most people. As a result of their living in close quarters, they developed herd immunity more quickly than the rest of us. We saw similar herd immunity develop in the insular communities amongst Hasidic Jews, for example, in New York, amongst the Mennonites and the Amish, because they tend to stick together, they school together, they shop, and go to each other's stores only, and therefore they developed herd immunity very quickly. So I am guessing if we actually did a study on the homeless people, drew blood, you would find that immunity is very, very high in that population, despite the fact that most of them haven't been vaccinated, and they certainly didn't get ill and get admitted to the hospital. This is the beauty of herd immunity.
I read somewhere that of the vaccines that they've been pushing on the homeless population, they're pushing Johnson & Johnson above the other two, because with Johnson & Johnson, you just need the one shot and you don't have to rely on them coming back to their scheduled appointment for the second one.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's the way that we always approach that. When you have someone that you may never see again, we try to give a one shot if it's a vaccine issue. If it's an issue of something like antibiotics, likewise, we'll give an injection rather than a prescription for something, because you never know if you're going to see them again. But even with all of that, the homeless population hasn't been largely vaccinated at this point, and frankly, doesn't need to be, because I guarantee they had COVID go through those communities, and not very many people got significantly ill, because that's the nature of COVID-19.
It's so strange, too, because we've been spending so much time talking about indigent communities here in Los Angeles, where other infectious diseases are popping back up, like the plague and other forms of hepatitis that had largely gone away that were then coming back. All of it was centered in the homeless community. And then with this one, it's like they're totally immune.
Exactly. It's just because it's such a mild illness. You know, the things we should be really, really scared about are things like drug-resistant tuberculosis or typhus. You know, those sorts of things. We have medieval diseases coming back as a result of rat infestation and the burgeoning homeless population. COVID-19 is the least of our worries. Likewise, despite all of the hype about everybody and their brother getting vaccinated for COVID, you'd think they'd worry about things like vaccinating teenagers for meningitis or human papillomavirus, things where only 50% of the subject populations have been vaccinated for those things, which have orders of mortality far, far, far greater than COVID-19 ever would. So it's really the priorities are in the wrong place, that's for sure.
Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're on KABC. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Talley, I just wanted to thank you for all the information you've given us, particularly people like me who aren't scientists. You just really gave us a lot to hold on to. My question to you is, I had a serious case of COVID about a year ago, and now I'm kind of faced with the decision of whether to take the vaccine or not, and I just wanted to get your opinion.
I cannot overstate. People who have had and recovered from COVID do not need to get a vaccine. You have immunity. We know not only from the people who had and recovered from SARS-CoV-1 back in 2003, but by a number of studies now with SARS-CoV-2, what we call COVID-19, that immunity from people who are COVID recovered is broad, robust, and enduring. Furthermore, we also know that people who had and recovered from COVID, like yourself, have a higher risk of having an adverse event from the vaccines. So, frankly, the answer to the question is no, you do not need to be vaccinated. I am really encouraging people, and frankly, if they did anything good, the CDC would be to come out and say, we acknowledge, we will recognize now natural immunity, and we will stop trying to compel those people like yourself who had COVID to get vaccinated in the first place. It is unnecessary and potentially harmful.
If you have a question for Dr. Kelly Victory, give us a call at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. More of your calls coming up, but right now it's time to take a look at the roads. It's 150 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Ann Coulter coming up in minutes. Right now we're joined by Dr. Kelly Victory, who you can follow on Twitter at Dr. Kelly Victory. And we're taking your calls at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Let's begin with Dan. Dan, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Kelly. Thank you for taking my call. I keep reading about the vaccine hesitancy in Japan, and only 3% of the Japanese population has the vaccine or wants it. Can you address that or clear that up?
Well, that's correct. There are many areas of the world where vaccine hesitancy is significant, or people have chosen for whatever reasons not to participate, yet their rates of COVID are very, very low. The reality, Dan, is that case rates in the United States, as well as hospitalizations and deaths, fell precipitously well in advance of anything that could be attributed to, quote, vaccine effect. We saw those numbers starting to fall off in January and February. So while the vaccines have been widely distributed in this country, and we have a growing number who have been fully vaccinated, the decrease in numbers of cases and hospitalizations really can't be attributed solely to that by any stretch. So there are places like Japan where it's been there's been very little vaccine. Hong Kong is another one. I think 13% of Hong Kong has been vaccinated, yet the case rates are very, very low. So I am not surprised, and it will be interesting to see as the years go by, and I really do mean years because it will take that long to determine what the potential downstream effects of these vaccines are. It will be interesting to see what their case rates of things like autoimmune diseases, neurologic diseases, bloodborne cancers, those sorts of things are in areas of the world that did not participate largely in this vaccine experiment.
There are three groups of people that always come up when you talk about groups that didn't get hit hard with this virus: the Japanese, the sub-Saharan Africans, and the homeless. And there's one thing that they all have in common. They have very low rates of obesity in those populations. You look at places that got hit extremely hard: the United States, Western Europe, other places where obesity rates are significantly higher. Are they getting infected but just not having that tough of a time with it because they largely lack the comorbidities that are associated with having a tough time with COVID?
Undoubtedly, John. Obesity, of all of the comorbidities, obesity is by far the number one. We also talk about diabetes and heart disease, but a huge percentage of people with diabetes also, they have diabetes because they are obese. A large number of people who have heart disease have heart disease because they are obese. So obesity is the common denominator, absolutely. Of patients who died, upwards of 60% had significant or morbid obesity as a comorbidity. You are absolutely correct that places like sub-Saharan Africa and Japan and the homeless have a lower percentage of those folks are obese. The other thing about sub-Saharan Africa is the number of people there who take hydroxychloroquine and or ivermectin routinely to treat other things, namely malaria and intestinal parasites. So that is a contributing factor there as well. There also may be some dietary things. But absolutely, it's not that those areas aren't getting, quote, infected. It's simply that the cases are so mild or insignificant that it didn't end up people in, you know, doctors' offices, hospitals, or ICUs. And they benefited from the fact that the virus went rampant through those populations because they undoubtedly have reached herd immunity, simple by natural immunity, without requiring the vast majority of the population to get vaccinated.
Let's go to Kirk. Kirk, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for my call. I was just thinking, maybe I'm wrong, but with the homeless and how the incidence or infection is very low, is that in some way similar to nowadays with all their parents raising their children in a bubble, that they're allergic to everything and they constantly get sick, that the homeless don't have that distinction? So somehow their immune system is stronger?
Well, I actually believe a lot of that. There's, you know, our grandparents used to say, you know, it benefits you to eat a pound of dirt by the time you're five. You know, now parents are always sanitizing things, and we wildly overuse things like disinfectants and hand sanitizers. There's no question that being exposed to certain pathogens, mild pathogens, on a regular basis, meaning daily, actually helps your immune system to stay up to snuff. And there's a reason that when you first start practicing medicine, you get sick with everything, and then after a few years go by, you just don't get very many common colds or viruses because you've developed immunity to it. So part of it may be because those folks, particularly in the homeless population, are exposed to a lot of things, that they do have stronger immune systems. I also think it is very, very likely, and we could prove it by serology, by blood tests, that the vast majority of them did have COVID. It's simply that they had a mild case of it, because that's the standard. Most people will not get significantly ill from that virus, and because they have lower rates of obesity specifically, which is such a powerful comorbidity for a bad outcome with COVID.
Let's go to Nina. Nina, you're on KABC. Welcome.
Thank you for your time. I'm 82. I've got cancer of the lymph nodes, and I can't walk, so I need both arms. And the lymph nodes are in the left arm. So my question to you is, you made a remark yesterday about people having a bad reaction in the arm or the lymph nodes yesterday. Can you explain that to me?
Yes, what I said is it is very common for people to have enlargement of their lymph nodes after getting the vaccine. That is a common response to any sort of infectious process. And when you get the vaccine, your body is sort of going through a type of infectious process, or it thinks that it is, because it is being exposed to that spike protein. So the lymph nodes can get enlarged. That is very different from having a cancer. It doesn't mean you're having a cancer of the lymph nodes, but I was saying with respect to getting a mammogram or other sorts of x-rays, you don't want the radiologist to misinterpret those enlarged lymph nodes and think it's a cancer or something else, when instead it's just a reaction, temporary, but a reaction to the vaccine itself. Many people do have localized pain in the arm, most people, frankly, after getting the vaccine. That's the single most common side effect, but that, again, is temporary and would go away over a few days after getting the vaccine.
Dr. Kelly Victory, thank you so much for stopping by and loaning us your wisdom. We've got one more day this week. What do you say we do it again tomorrow on Jimmy Buffett Friday?
I would love it. I will be there for Jimmy Buffett Friday. Thanks, John.
All right. Ann Coulter joins us in minutes. Don't you go anywhere. We got one more hour coming up on The John Phillips Show right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.